We're going to be turning to Romans chapter 3 to start with. Romans chapter 3 in verse 23. And it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I'll come back to that verse, but that's our text tonight is Romans 3:23. And I'm going to read some of the stuff out of this lesson I have, so it's not all original. Some of it is, and some of it's not. So, this lesson is dealing with sin. How do I overcome sin in my life? And I think it's important for all of us to look at what the Scripture has to say. And I am by far not going to touch every little instance of everything, but I'm trying to give us a well-rounded understanding of how to deal with it. A famous preacher once said that A saved person begins to battle sin in his own life. He enters a combat so intense it makes World War II look like a Sunday school picnic. This truth is not evident to the young Christian, but as you grow, you realize further the intensity of the struggle. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 7. And this particular passage of Romans chapter 7 is a good example where Paul is talking about, and let me see here. I want to go back a little further. We're going to start in verse 11. It says, "For sin, taking occasion by commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." And what he's saying here is when we get saved, there's two natures now. It tells us, when we were spiritually dead before we got saved. And then God revived that. He made us alive. It talks about that in Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about we were quickened. And I'm going to read that passage as it fills out the thought that I'm trying to bring across. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and we'll come back to Romans 7. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead," were, past tense, "in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and then of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." And then he goes on to say down in verse 8 and 9, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So he's telling us plainly, there's nothing we can do to get saved. There's nothing in our power, no matter what it is, coming to church, getting baptized, taking communion, none of these things we can do adds to our salvation or is part of our salvation. That's a result of obedience. It says in verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we see that we were dead spiritually, we were quickened. But now Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 7, there's strife between two natures under the law. There's two natures going on. In verse 15, it says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do, I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So we're seeing a difference here in comparisons. He's saying there's still sin in my flesh, but now there's the inner man is revived. Our spirit is revived, and now there's a battle going on between the two because the flesh is sinful. The spirit is trying to bring us or make us to be more like God, and that's the sanctification process. And we won't deal with that tonight, but it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So he's clearly saying, hey, there's still sin. We're delivered when we get saved. We are delivered from the power of sin. And he enables us to have power over sin within walking within his strength. And that's why he says in Galatians chapter 2, that's why he tells us here in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he's saying that I'm not living, I'm dying to self, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, I die daily. And what he's talking about there, he dies to his own self-desires. He's dying to those wrong desires that he's... And then he says, I'm crucified. We need to crucify our flesh, not physically, but we need to die to our self-desires and allow Christ to work through us. And that's exactly what's going on. So we see there in verse 23, it says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So when we die to self, when we allow ourselves to be, when we surrender our will to his will, we enable him to work through us, and he gives us the power. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's when we're depending upon his strength. And see, as we see briefly in lesson two, this when you got saved, this is speaking about the lessons I run through, you became two people, the old man in Adam's image. We're still, physically, we still have a sinful flesh. Your new man in Christ, Jesus, has God's image. So now the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, we are bought with a price. See, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, and he's there. That's the new life in us. That's Christ living in us, and he's trying to work. It talks about in Philippians chapter 3, about working out our own salvation. Well, that's not talking about working for our salvation. It's about working out. What's been put in needs to come out. And when we start reading the scriptures and we start staying, spending much time in prayer and asking God to help us and going through the scriptures and reading and allowing him to speak to us, because there's life in the scriptures. It's a living word. Jesus is the living word. And he lives with it. And if we're doing what the scriptures say, people, when they see us, they're going to see Christ. Okay? So the question is, how do I overcome sin in my life? How do I deal with sin? Well, the first thing we got to do is we need to identify the problem. We need to identify the problem. And that is the sin. We need to identify it. So the first question we're going to look at, and that's probably all we're going to cover and probably won't get done with it tonight, but to start it, is what is sin? So what is sin? First of all, we see there in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned. Okay? That's a blanket statement for all mankind, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and in Romans 3:10, it says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. But then we also see in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, I'm just sharing a few scriptures here. 64 and verse 6, it says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So nothing we have to offer apart and set aside from Christ is worth nothing. But because of Him, because of what He's done for us, when we stand before God, He sees Christ in us. He sees that we've been covered by the blood. The blood takes away that sin. In the Old Testament, it was atonement. They had to shed, they had to have a sacrifice once a year, and the priest went in and sacrificed for his own sins. And then from there, he sacrificed for the sins of the people once a year as God commanded it. Again, those sacrifices were pointing to the ultimate sacrifice, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on Calvary. So what is sin? Okay, we need to identify the problem. Well, we see here that in 1 John chapter 3, that sin is breaking God's law. Sin is breaking God's law. There in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Okay? So we see that sin is transgression. Well, what is transgression? Well, I took time to look these things up in the dictionary, and I wanted to try to get a good understanding of what they are. It's the act of passing over or beyond any law or rule of moral duty. Does that make sense? The act of passing over or beyond any law or rule of moral duty. The violation of a law or known principle of rectitude. Breach of command. The second was fault or offense or crime. Another one I found was overstepping the law, the divine boundary between good and evil. When we step over, that's transgression. Okay? And then the word, I mentioned another word in there when it says the violation of a law or known principle of rectitude. Well, rectitude in and of itself simply means righteousness in principle or practice. Uprightness of mind, exact conformity to the truth or to the rules prescribed for moral conduct, either by divine or human laws. And where do we find the moral laws of the scripture? Exodus 20, what is it? The Ten Commandments, that's the moral law. The first four, and we could deal with those in the future, but the first four are dealing with the relationship between man and God. The last six are dealing with our relationship between us and our fellow man. And Jesus said in the New Testament, what are the two greatest commandments? Well, first of all, to love God with all our heart, body, soul, and mind, with our total being, we need to love God. And if we could do that, literally everything else will follow. But the second thing he said, the second most important thing he said, was to love our neighbor as ourselves. The Bible also tells us, just, and I'm throwing this in there, in Ephesians, that our husbands are to love their wives as themselves. And I'm going to compare those. If we love our neighbors as we do ourselves, we love ourselves pretty much, don't we? We take care of ourselves pretty good. If we took care of our neighbors and we loved them as much as we loved ourselves, guess what? the world would be a different place, wouldn't it? But what happens? Sin enters the situation. And what comes from sin? Selfishness, pride. We don't want to deal with anybody else. It's all about self. Where did sin start at? With Satan, Lucifer, in the Garden of Eden. Actually, before that, in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 14, and then also in Ezekiel, it talks about Satan wanting to be like God, wanting to be God, which Satan was, or Lucifer was the head angel. And so therefore, that's where sin started. He was cast out of heaven because of what? Pride. Because it lifted him up. When we have pride in our lives, and I'm talking about, there's some things to be proud of, so to speak, like be proud of your kids and how well they're doing. That's not a sinful pride, but a pride I'm talking about is where we exalt ourselves above everybody else. And that's what Lucifer was guilty of doing. And then the serpent in the Garden of Eden deceived Eve. She gave the fruit to Adam, and then therefore sin entered the world. So that's where sin came from. So first of all, sin is transgression, okay? We see in Psalm 51 and verse 1, Psalm 51 and verse 1, this is the Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba and committed adultery. But verse 1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." You see how there's three different words here: transgressions, iniquity, and sin. And then he says in verse 3, he says, "I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So we were born into sin. So first of all, we see sin is breaking God's law. Sin is transgression. Okay? Well, sin is iniquity. We've seen the word iniquity. Iniquity means injustice, unrighteousness, a deviation from rectitude. Again, rectitude meaning the righteousness or rightness in principle or practice. A particular deviation from rectitude, a sin or a crime, wickedness, any act of injustice. So it kind of gives you, it's sin, but it's a different, there's another side to it. When you start dealing with iniquity. Another meaning I found is that an act inherently wrong, whether expressly forbidden or not. So sin is iniquity. We also see there in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, "All unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin, there is a sin not unto death. But all unrighteousness is sin." So anything that's not righteous is sin. But then we also see is Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. Romans 14 and verse 23. We see sin is anything done apart from faith. "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." So when we're doing things and we're not trusting God, if we're supposed to have faith in God. We're supposed to trust Him. We're supposed to walk with Him. But anything done apart from faith is sin. See, another thing we've seen is sin is error. It's error. Okay? A wandering or deviation from the truth. A mistaken judgment by which men assent to or believe what is not true. Do we not see that today? That people are believing what's not true. They believe whatever they're told. They don't take time to investigate. They don't take time to look at anything. That's why we say in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, where it talks about the Bereans, they search the scriptures daily. That's why we as Christians need to search. We need to take notes for what's being preached or taught. And we need to get in there and search the scriptures daily so we know what it says. And say, hey, is this guy really preaching what's the truth, or is he just saying something else? And if we take time to search the scriptures, we're going to see that it's going to, and then it gives you not an opportunity for God to work in your life. So we see that sin is transgression. Sin is iniquity. And there's another verse we didn't get a chance to look at, but Luke chapter 15 and verse 29. Luke 15 and verse 29. It says, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed. There's that word transgressed. I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. So there's another, he said, I never transgressed, I never went. But then he says, but as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. There's a great principle there about forgiveness and how God, if you go back in the chapter, is talking about the lost son and the lost sheep. And if one wanders, that there's great rejoicing when one is found and brought back to the fold. And so his older son missed the point of what was taking place. But we see there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we also see, so sin is error, a departure from right, okay? And Psalm 51 and verse 9. It's also that same psalm we started in there, the Psalm of David. It says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. See, when we allow sin into our lives as Christians, that puts severs our relationship with the Lord. Now, we do not lose our salvation, because our salvation had nothing to do with what we do besides accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, having faith in him. But what it does is it breaks that fellowship. Just like as we were growing up as little children, one, we all can understand this. And we did something wrong, until it was made right between us and our parents, there was a division there. There was a division in that fellowship. There was something not right. And when we allow sin into our life, that's what happens with us, between us and our relationship with the Lord. Because he can't be in the presence of sin. So therefore, when we allow sin into our life, as the Psalm says in 66 and verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Have you ever heard the thing is, when you have sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. See, the same thing is when David said there in Psalm 51, let's get back there, Psalm 51, in verse 12, it says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. See, God's salvation, it's not ours. He gives it, he keeps us, and then he's coming back for us. But restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. And why is he saying that? Because when you're living in sin, or have sin in your life, there's no joy in your life. because you're separated from God. We go back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis, and we look at the situation there. What happened when God came to have fellowship with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening? He couldn't find them after they ate of the fruit. Why? Because they hid themselves. And he asked them, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" Because before sin entered into the world, there was no shame in that nakedness. But see, sin brings shame. Sin brings separation. For the wages of sin is what? Death. And he's talking about spiritual death. Well, one day our physical bodies are going to die as well. Why? Because of the result of sin. Because back in the Old Testament times, back in the book of Genesis, people lived to be 900 and some years old. Why? Because sin didn't have full effect on them as it has today. Our days, we're lucky if we make it 70 years old. Anybody over that's been blessed with extra years. So sin is error, a wandering or deviation from the truth. But we also see there in Romans chapter 3, we see there in it's missing the mark, a failure to meet the divine standard. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have you ever came up short on something? If you ever came up short on money, you didn't have enough money to buy something, or I can relate the meal pretty good. Have you ever come short up on a board? You cut it wrong, and it was short.
Cut it 3 times, still short.
It's still short, and that's the key. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can never, ever, ever meet God's standard in and of ourselves. That standard is perfection, and there's only one man that ever walked this earth, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, then it enables us, because of his righteousness, not our own, to walk in God's presence. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 and verse, I believe 16, says, come into the throne of grace bold. We can come into God's throne boldly. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. But I'm going to finish up there. I'm going to stop there on the simple note is missing the mark, a failure to meet the divine standard. And I'm going to pick up there next week, next Wednesday. I'll pick up there. But we have to, first of all, identify the problem that is sin. What is it? And we'll try to finish up next week on what is sin, so we have a full spectrum. It's just like when you have a problem with, say you have two people come in a marriage and you got a problem. The counselor, whoever's dealing with them, the pastor, or if they go to a marriage counselor, they got to get to the root of the problem first before they can start helping them. They got to get it opened up. It's just like a wound. When you go to the doctor and they want to help you heal, sometimes they got to reopen that wound because there might be some infection inside. You got to get to the root of the problem before it can start any kind of healing. So, what is sin? Let's pray.